I'll just clean my meat.
Activate the view screen and turn on your universal translators, because it is time for another Galactic Netcast.
We interrupt this program to give you a bulletin just received from one of our naval units at sea. A large object traveling at supersonic speed is headed over the North Atlantic toward the east coast of the United States.
This earth of yours will be reduced to a burned out cinder.
This could be the beginning of the end for the human race. Human beings cower before the onslaught of these unearthly enemies.
It's Thursday, October 24th, 2013. Welcome to another Galactic Netcast. This is the alien invasion number 87 from Waterloo, Iowa. I'm Dave Rawr Nelson. Joining me this evening from Wausau, Wisconsin is Brad Kuwata Ludwig and Anessa Pip Emu Moines from Denton, Texas. What's up, guys?
I'm just cleaning my meat.
You're cleaning your meat. Now, that's something you don't hear every day.
So I bought this barbecue brisket sandwich thing from Arby's, and there's like a bunch of fat, and I'm kind of picky about that sort of thing. So I'm just peeling off the fat and cleaning my meat.
Cleaning your meat. All right.
Cleaning my meat.
I think we already have the title of the episode.
Cleaning my meat.
Yes, cleaning my meat.
Yeah.
Aren't you going to ask me about the names?
I am going to ask you about the
Dave
names.
Dave Nelson, what are the names mean? What are they from?
They're nonsensical. They're made-up alien names. I found this chart on a website where you could make your own alien names, and I just picked them out of the choices. There's different kinds, different types, and I just kind of pick and choose.
Nice.
Yeah.
Chose.
Okay.
Choose.
Okay. All right.
Pick and choosed.
All right. Well, I'm glad that you guys picked us to listen to today. This is the show where we talk about all things alien, beings from elsewhere in the galactic expanse of the universe, and their appearances in film, TV, video games, comic book, science, and in real life. The show is, we break it down into three sections: the news, the creature feature, that's our spotlight of a certain kind of alien, and our picks for the week. For our subscribers, watch us live by following us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+. Go to galacticnetcasts.com/live or watch us later at youtube.com/galacticnetcasts. Now, let's start with the news, and it'll begin after I find the soundboard and play the thing where it says this.
In the news.
Okay.
And Wilhelm scream from nowhere.
Okay, Anessa, you're eating. Would you like one of us to go first? And then we'll swim it.
I can totally do this. I no longer have my mouth full of meat, so I'm good.
Okay, all right. So you've got the first story in the news.
Sweet. So how could we start looking for alien transmitters in our solar system? SETI now has the technology to go look for artificial extraterrestrial devices positioned somewhere between the sun to 30 times farther out than Pluto. Michael Gillen of the Observatory of Geneva, Switzerland, wrote in a recent paper that aliens who are surveying our solar system with one or more artificially intelligent probes would need to set up a very powerful transmitter to send data back to their home planet. ET could save a lot of power and sidestep the complex engineering by using the sun's gravitational field as a powerful amplifier for sending and receiving messages. This phenomenon, called gravitational lensing, amplifies electromagnetic radiation just as magnifying glass brightens the light from a source. Excuse me. The alien transmitting antenna could weigh as little as 1 ton and have a radio dish no bigger than 82 feet in diameter. This means it would be too small to photograph or detect it if it passed in front of a star. A powerful enough interplanetary LIDAR, or radar, located aboard an interstellar probe to intercept a preselected solar focal region for a given star, could look for the artifact.
That's a lot of technical words.
Yeah. So...
let's break it down. What are they really talking about here?
Let's break it down now.
Oh, you.
So, yeah. It would be really hard to detect if you were using the same method that they use for, like, tracking exoplanets to go in front of the star, because it would be so tiny compared to a planet. So,
And here, they're looking out into the solar system. They're not, right? They won't have the sun as a comparison. They won't be able to tell, like, see the wobble of the sun, right? Because they're looking in the wrong direction. Am I wrong?
Well, I guess you do kind of have the sun now for comparison when you have transits of Venus and Mercury.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you could at least see. You're not really going to be able to see any motion in the stars, like you mentioned the wobble.
Yeah.
But basically they look for the decrease in light as an object passes in front of it.
Well, did you read the rest of this? There's a...
Yeah, the Allen Technology Telescope Array in Northern California could look for anomalous radiation at a solar focal region that aligns with our sun and Alpha Centauri. The neighboring star system could potentially harbor advanced life. If unusual leak-off signals were found, a probe could be launched on a very long mission to check out the region. Our solar system has a volume of 500 trillion cubic astronomical units, so the solar system remains virtually unexplored for any alien artifacts. This means there is plenty of elbow room for ET to go hide a clandestine transmitter.
So there could be a lot of stuff out in our solar system and we wouldn't know it because...
Yeah, because it's so small. And, well, we're sending so much crap out there anyway.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have to decipher through that as well.
Yeah.
I had a leak off once. It involved a big party and lots of beer.
I was waiting for somebody to make a joke of that.
And I did not disappoint.
No, thank you.
You're welcome.
This is an interesting technology, though, to think about. Using the sun's magnetic radiation to
boost the signal and stuff. So
You can't stop the signal now.
The thing is, though, you have to have something on both ends. You got to be doing it on both sides. You can't just have one going. You have to. It's like the binars on Star Trek: The Next Generation.
I couldn't help but think, like, that's what she said. Have it going from both ends. Sorry.
Bringing a whole new science to finger cuffing? What are we talking about here?
I have no idea.
I was going the route of a really good science fiction story, and you guys are like juvenile. You're like 7-year-old. You're like 7-year-old kids.
Yeah, says the guy who had the tentacle porn pick last week.
This is true. It's very true, but it's not my week to
pot,
be
kettle pot.
Yeah, it's not my week.
Physician, heal thyself.
Yeah. So seriously, let's talk about this for a second.
Yeah, seriously.
Yes, we absolutely should.
Yes, let's get our serious faces on.
Okay, game face. All right.
So
no, I think that we're using gravitational
lensing
to focus our electromagnetic scoping of the solar system, essentially, is what's happening. So we would be using that to sweep the solar system.
Or ET could be using that to look at us.
Oh, yes, sure.
As well.
What they're using that for, potentially, would be a transmitter. Because you'd send your probe out, you'd want a way to contact the probe, right? Because however long Alpha Centauri is. That's just one example. You're using that technology to actually talk to get the transmitter back from your whatever device that you sent out.
Right. I wonder how far Alpha Centauri is.
It's our closest star, right? It's the closest star to us.
Yes.
It's not that far, really, in the scope of things.
No, it's not. 4.37 light years.
See, I was thinking 6. So I was pretty close.
So you weren't too far off.
No.
Yeah.
So if you had
still quite a ways though.
If you had the ability to travel the speed of light, you would get there in 4 years, right?
Right, just over 4 years is when you would get there, but we don't really have that ability to travel with the speed of light, so it would take us forever.
Not yet.
So, I mean, it's already taken, Voyager, 30 years or something to leave the solar system?
Yeah, and that's just the solar system.
Yeah. So just imagine how long it would take us now to get over there to Alpha Centauri.
This kind of boggles the mind, the very first sentence of the story. 30 times farther out than Pluto. That's still our solar system. 30 times farther out than Pluto. There's still a whole bunch of solar system after Pluto.
There's a whole lot of dwarf planets.
Yep.
Planetoids, planetesimals, whatever. Yeah, because, I mean, you get outside of Pluto, and then you just keep going, and then you've got, like, the Oort cloud, and I don't know what else is out there.
The Oort cloud.
The Oort cloud. O-O-R-T, I believe, is
not,
how it's
not
called.
Not Ork? Mork from Oort cloud?
Oort. Sounds like a seal cloud. Oort.
All right.
Sorry.
Okay. So
stay
let's
on target.
Yep. So let's move on. That was interesting.
Yes.
That was an interesting discussion. It sounds like none of us really know what the hell they're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I just, as far as astronomy and stuff goes, I never really paid that much attention to the electromagnetical stuff and, or not electromagnetical stuff, but like the gravitational field and gravitational lensing and stuff, because I've always been more of the, ooh, planets and stars.
Yeah.
And not so much like
the physics behind
the
it.
The physics
you're,
behind
you're
it.
You're more into the what, not the how.
Yeah, I like the concept. I just don't like the details of the concept. Well, I guess I do like the details. I just, yeah.
This sounds like a cool concept. This sounds like a cool way of communicating over vast distances, right?
Yeah, and it seems like it would be more efficient.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I wanted to bring up also, did you know that I read a story this week about how they tested using lasers to communicate. You know that probe that's orbiting the moon?
Uh-huh.
They communicated with that on Earth using lasers.
Pew, pew, pew!
So it's kind of along the same lines, you know, new and interesting and effective, more effective ways of communicating over long distances.
Well, if you think about it, if we're going to travel to, you know, to Mars, we're going to have faster, more reliable ways to communicate. And the cool thing about this, you know, maybe another application of this LIDAR would be, you remember like towards the end of this space shuttle program where they were using like satellites and other ways to observe the space shuttle to ensure that ice hadn't damaged the tiles and they would have it kind of turn in space. Something like this could be a way for them to inspect, you know, a ship that's going to be out. It's like, what, 9 months from here to Mars?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You'd be able to have some kind of way to maybe contact or keep an eye on how things are going with the ship, if you use something like this.
And also just think, you know, a more instantaneous communication using using
LIDAR.
Well, I was going to say,
LIDAR uses light and radar, and so you're actually still going to be using lasers.
Okay. All right. But what I was going to say was, you know, if you go to Mars and with our current technology of communicating, it takes minutes for a signal to go from Mars to Earth. Don't you think it would be faster using lasers?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. Not only voice and video, but also data. And not commander data.
Get out of my head. I was totally thinking that.
All right, so let's move on to the second story in the news, and I've been waiting to talk about this. This is so fun, and I'm sure that you guys have already seen this. Have you read all the way through, both of you?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
All right, so don't look at the article, okay?
Nope.
I want you to play along, all right?
Okay.
This is from the Huffington Post. And it's not an article, it's a quiz. It's, are these quotes from an alien invasion movie or a Republican describing Obamacare? You guys ready?
Yep.
Okay, these aren't all of
them.
There's about 10 or so. I picked 6 out. So, can you tell the difference between quotes from an alien invasion flick or Republicans freaking out about Obamacare. So here we go. Question number one. If we don't act now, we may not have much of an American left to defend. Or no, of an America left to defend. Is that a Republican freaking out about Obamacare or an alien invasion movie?
I'm going to guess movie.
I'm going Republican.
Okay. And the winner is Anessa.
Woo!
It's actually from...
Although I could totally see it being a Republican.
Yeah, no. Yeah. These are really hard to distinguish between. It's actually from Independence Day. All right.
Crap.
There you go.
Question number two. I have a message for you. You're going to die sooner. You're going to die sooner. I have a message for you. You're going to die sooner. Is that Obamacare or an alien invasion flick?
That kind of sounds like a movie to me.
Obamacare.
And the winner is Brad. It's Senator Tom Coburn from Oklahoma talking about Obamacare.
Oh, that guy.
Of course.
That guy. All right, question number three. I will make a request. If I'm never seen again, please send a search and rescue team. I will make a request. If I'm never seen again, please send a search and rescue team. Is that Obamacare movie. Or a movie?
Movie.
I'm going to... Yeah, I don't know. That's like... That's a really tough one. That sounds like it would be a movie. But I'm kind of thinking maybe a politician.
Okay, so you're just going to do the opposite of what Brad said.
No, I'll go with movie.
Okay. Well, you're both wrong. You're both wrong.
What? Are you kidding me?
No. That was Senator.
Who said that?
That was Senator Ted Cruz.
Oh, that freaking guy.
It would be a Texan, right?
Yeah. He was talking about Obamacare. All right.
Even stupidity is bigger in Texas.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it is.
That's been proven time and time again.
No,
recently.
You don't need to apologize because I live in a state with. Idiot.
Okay. Next question.
All right. Question number four. Goddamn jackpot. This is more than we ever thought we'd get. We finally get those bastards. We got them.
I'm going to go with movie.
No, movie.
Okay. You're both right.
Because no Republican would be that happy about Obamacare.
Obamacare.
Unless they're talking about like government shutdown, then no, it's movie.
Okay. Yes, you're correct. It's from Predator. The movie Predator. All right, question five. Will we not go quietly into the night? Will we not vanish without a fight?
Independence Day.
Yes, you got it, Brad. Sorry, Anessa.
Oh, you should have. No, I'm sorry. I should have just said movie. I apologize.
I think most people know that line, though. That's a pretty famous line. That's, what's his face? The president, right?
Bill Paxton.
Pullman.
Damn it.
Pullman or Paxton? Paxton or Pullman?
Pullman.
Okay. Pullman.
All right. All right, final one here. Here we go. Number six. At times, you must act on principle and not ask what cost. What are the chances of success? Again, at times, you must act on principle and not ask what cost. What are the chances of success?
Obamacare.
You're both correct. Congratulations. That was Representative Steve Pierce of New Mexico.
I think we should call that a tie. I counted. I would give that one to Anessa because
I wasn't really.
It looked like
track.
She knew it.
Wasn't
I was it? Keeping score.
Okay.
Because
all right.
That's what I do.
Really? That's an interesting insight to how things work.
Well, with the contest, yeah.
Okay. Oh, not real life, not regular life. You don't keep score all the time and everything.
No, that's creepy.
Okay.
And I don't have that good of a memory to do that, so no, I don't bother.
All right. All right. So yeah, if you want to play along, if you want to answer more questions, check out the article we'll have linked up in the show notes of the podcast. It's from the Huffington Post. Love the HuffPo. All right, before we move on to our final story, we want to hear what you thought of the stories that we covered tonight or anything that we're talking about on this here podcast. You can get a hold of us via email, galacticnetcasts@gmail.com. You can call our voicemail number. Go ahead, 805-328-3966, 805-328-3966. Or, you know, like us on Facebook or circle us on Google+ or what's it called on Twitter? Follow us on Twitter. Just search Galactic Netcast. You'll find us. And a lot of people are we're getting a lot more traffic on our Facebook page recently. And I have Brad to thank for that. Putting the ads out, putting the call out to all the science fiction and science nerds out there. Good job, Brad.
No, it's very it's very cool. I think we got a bunch of stuff to show people that are interesting, and also with the job I have, it's always nice to kind of keep my hand in and try to learn the ropes as they change Facebook advertising and keep a hand in that. So
I see.
It serves two purposes.
Two birds, one stone. Okay.
Bam.
I think we're building a pretty good community. I think we're starting to gain traction a little bit. So that's good. That's very good.
People are starting to interact with us, and I really dig that.
Yeah, no. The more interaction, the better. It's good for both of us. It's good for us. It's good for them. So. All right, Brad. You've got the final story in the news. What is it?
The new Aliens game will feature Ellen Ripley's daughter.
Dun, dun, dun.
It's been reported that 20th Century Fox has registered a trademark for a new game in the Aliens series, which is going to be called Alien Isolation. And according to sources, will feature Aliens protagonist Ellen Ripley's daughter. The game is set to be developed by Creative Assembly and will function as a horror-themed first-person shooter.
Aww. Neat.
The source of this information has been asked to remain anonymous but is familiar with what's happening at Sega.
Sega!
According to this source, yes, Sega, the daughter of Ellen Ripley, Amanda Ripley, will spend the majority of the game fighting her way through a space station. There's only one alien, however, and most of the enemies will be a mix of space soldiers and clones. True to the original Alien film, Vents will play a large part in Alien Invasion.
Cool.
And I tried to have the Xenomorph picture up while I was doing the story here, so you could get the creepy alien right in your face if you're watching the video cast of the show.
So
big old alien in your face.
Yeah. So this seems to be, it's going to have more of a original Alien vibe because they're out in space. They're on a space station, not a spaceship, but they're out in space. And yep. There's only one Xenomorph. And there's Vents. So that's very much an original Alien movie vibe, don't you guys think?
Yeah, it's a, you know, when I thought about that and when I was reading it, I was thinking about which one is it? Batman Arkham Asylum?
Mm-hmm.
The first game where you're kind of working your way through Arkham Asylum, but you got to kind of go through the first part of it to, you know, work your way through and try to get by all the different inmates that are in Arkham Asylum.
Right.
So, but having that confined sort of cramped viewing, I think is really going to lend to the terror and the overall anxiety that being in that situation could, you know, with the right music that they'd have in the background and, you know, atmospheric sounds and stuff like that. I could see turning off the lights and playing that game and scaring yourself silly. So
yeah.
I think that has a lot of potential.
You know, I'm really impressed with how they have continued the Alien franchise, even without new movies. You know, they had that one game that came out either earlier this year or late last year, and I forget the name of it. That was an Alien-themed game. Oh, Alien Colonial something.
Colonial Marines?
Yeah, Colonial Marines, I think, is what it was called. And then they've got this rumors of this game, so they've really, they just keep on going with the Alien franchise beyond
the
movies.
Yeah, they've really, they're doing a lot. I mean, they, not to mention the theme park, the comics.
And the story, yeah, the story we had last week. Yeah.
So, I'm sorry for anyone who doesn't like Alien, and we've been talking about it a lot lately. They've just been doing a lot with it lately. Sorry.
Hey, at least we're not talking about Doctor Who. Sorry.
We could.
Yeah, we could.
So this was released, I'm sorry, let's go to the screen, kids. This was Alien Colonial Marines was released February 12th of 2013. So it was the first quarter of this year. I'm looking at actually Wikipedia right now. I'm trying to see what kind of critical reception received mostly negative reviews.
Oh, that's too
bad. Yeah. I heard it wasn't that great.
The bad AI, unbalanced gameplay, low quality graphics in the single player mode. That's multiplayer too- was oof, ouch, 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 ouch.
Too
bad. It was not good at all.
Oof. Hey, at least they're trying.
Yeah. I think one of the guys that played one of the characters, like the voice actor, follows me on Twitter or Instagram or something.
Oh, ooh la la.
Ooh. Yeah. Fancy.
Yeah.
He's
aren't
a nice
you
guy.
The fancy
very
man.
Energetic. Very outgoing.
How,
in your
how energetic is he? Bam!
I don't know. He was one of the guests at Anime Fest a couple of years ago, and he was just, like, all over the place.
Oh, is that... So. Do you think that's why he follows you on Twitter? It's from that?
No, he didn't know who I was.
Oh, I thought maybe you met him there.
Well, I remember answering the door, because I used to work Anime Fest, and so I remember answering the door, and he's like, is Brian here? And, like, I had just gotten there, so I didn't know who he was. I was like, and then, like, he's like, oh, that's me. So I'm like, oh, well, then I guess you are here. Come on in.
That's weird. That's really weird.
So.
Okay. So anyway. Do you think, I don't know. I don't remember Ripley having a kid. When did she have a kid?
Remember she had the baby alien. Or whatever. That she sent out the window, the airlock, or whatever.
Yeah. But she never was pregnant, right? I mean, as far as the movies go, I don't remember her being pregnant. Unless she had the kid before the first Alien movie. You know, maybe she was...
In between movies, hopped off the ship for 9 months. I have no idea.
She was out in space forever, right? She put herself in
suspended animation.
Suspended animation. So there was no real downtime because after the first movie, she was asleep for 10 years or whatever. It was longer than 10 years. It was a long, long time.
What if it was like a test tube baby or something?
They took her DNA. Yeah.
Or maybe she had some eggs in the freezer and she had a surrogate.
What are you freaking out about there, Brad?
That actually may be
he's onto something.
In Aliens, in a deleted scene, she learns that her daughter Amanda, played by Weaver's real mother Elizabeth Inglis, died during Ripley's return trip. So that was actually in Aliens, but it was a deleted scene. So Amanda does sort of exist in the Aliens universe.
Okay. Interesting.
So while she was in suspended animation coming back, this is Aliens takes place 57 years later. So her daughter has grown old and died during the time of her return trip. So she had the daughter in Alien or right before Alien, and she was in suspended animation to get to the original planet. And then was lost kind of in transit, was in suspended animation for an additional 57 years.
Oh, I get it now. Okay. So her daughter was old by the time she got out of suspended animation. Or no, she was dead. She had died.
Yeah, she was dead. Okay. She died.
Okay. Wow.
That's crazy.
I had to wrap my mind around that for a second. I had to figure that out. Thanks, Brad. Yep. Thanks for doing the research on that.
Thank you, Internet.
Yay!
No!
Okay. All right, let's move on.
I'm not sure what I just heard, but I want to move along.
Creature feature.
All right, so I chose this week's creature feature because of a need to go back to my youth. And growing up, watching TV's, you know, shows on Sunday afternoon or whatever, you know, old, like, rerun TV's TV show. And I picked the Horta from Star Trek, the original series. Now, I'm going to ask Anessa. Anessa, do you know what the Horta is? Without looking.
Oh, I was like, hang on. I don't remember if I've seen them before.
Wasn't he in the Dr. Seuss book, Horta Hears a Who?
That would be an entirely different type of Dr. Seuss book.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, without looking, not off the top of my head.
Okay. Brad, did you know what a Horta was off the top of your head?
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay, all right. So the Horta were a race of beings that appeared in the Star Trek, the original series episode, Devil in the Dark. And a little trivia, by the way, this is the first episode where McCoy said, "Damn it, Jim, I'm a doctor, not a bricklayer." Or, "Damn it, Jim, I'm a doctor, not a whatever." Fill in the blank. This was the first episode that he said that in. So, the Horta are a silicone-based life form from Janus 6. Janus. It was comprised...
To be clear, it should be silicon, not silicone.
Oh, silicone?
Because it was not like fake boobs. It was the actual element.
Silicon. Yeah, you're right.
It's an important distinction to make.
It's a planet made of
jiggly boob-like material.
Yeah,
that's not the deal.
This is where all the women of the galaxy go to get their implants.
Going to Janus.
But they got
to know.
But they have to grab a Horta
Janus
first.
6.
They
got
to grab the Horta by the tail.
That can't be good.
Yeah. So anyways, silicone
has an E at the end.
Okay. Silicon-based life form, composed of a material similar to fibrous asbestos. Their physiology is very different from carbon-based life forms. Horta were difficult to detect by tricorders and were invulnerable to type 1 phasers. Though they could be injured with an adjusted type 2 phasers. I remember this because the people on the planet were running around trying to kill the Horta, and they only had type 1 phasers.
Pew, pew, pew. Nothing.
Yeah, yeah. But then Starfleet came down because they made a call to Starfleet, and they found out the Enterprise is coming. They're like, oh, thank God, because they got type 2 phasers. So
that go pew, pew, pew. Yeah.
Do you remember the episode, though? I remember distinctly remembering that some of the crew member or some of the people on the planet were carrying around clubs, too. It was clubs and phasers, I seem to remember.
Yep.
So, about the Horta, they fed on rock, and thus they were nourished just by tunneling. Horta tunneled through the rock like most humanoids walk through air, moving with the aid of extremely corrosive acid. So they moved along the ground using acid. They left perfectly round tunnels in their wake. The acid was corrosive that it only left fragments of bone and teeth if used on a human. So the Horta were not only destroying this... the Janus 6 was a mining planet. So not only was it destroying what they were mining for, but they were actually killing the human workers on this planet as well. Let's see, what else? Although Hortas did not evolve in an oxygen environment, they seemed able to exist in it for extended periods of time. The Horta have an unusually long lifespan. Every 50,000 years, all the Horta died except for one, the so-called Mother Horta, who then watched the eggs until they hatched and mothered and protected them. Horta eggs are spherical in shape, and they consist mostly of silicon, aside from a few trace elements. And this is the episode, Anessa, where Spock had to mind meld with the Horta, and he yelled out, "Pain! Pain!" Because the mother Horta was sad because all for her, because they found this like treasure trove of Horta eggs, and they were almost all destroyed by the humans.
They look like little golden spheres, and they went, "Oh, that's unusual."
Yeah. They didn't know what they were, so she was mad because the humans were basically killing her kids.
Aww.
But it all worked
humans
out.
Humans are jerks.
Yeah, no. It all worked out the end, though.
It does.
Yeah.
It has a very, very happy ending, actually.
Yeah. Because McCoy comes back. He's got his arms up like this, like he just delivered a baby, but he actually fixed the mother using concrete or something like that. And he was very...
No, it was a silicone-based... I just did silicone.
Silicon-based.
I was just thinking that. I'm like, silicon.
It's a silicon-based... it was like a bandage or a patch or something that they use for medical purposes.
Yep. Great episode. Well, it's a classic Trek episode.
Yes, it is.
So, there you have it. That's Creature Feature of the Week, the Horta. Horta.
Yay!
Whoop, whoop.
Thank you. All right. So, that is it for... we got more to do here. We got picks.
Heck yeah!
Oh my God, everybody!
Whoa!
So, let's start with me.
I didn't watch a crappy movie for nothing.
Well, I mean, if we skipped the picks, then you could just use that for next week, and you wouldn't have to watch a crappy movie this week, or for next week.
No, I watched a good one that I think I definitely want to share with people.
Okay, all right. So my pick is a book. I think this is the first book that I've done for
what?
A pick. Yeah. I mentioned this book on a previous episode, I think as part of a new story.
Oh, yeah.
It's called The Fifth Wave by Rick Yancey, and this is a marvelous book. If you want a book about an alien invasion that's different from any other alien invasion story, then you should pick this up because I can't explain how many different levels are in this story. You think you know what's going on, and then they pull the rug from under you and they twist it around and they say, "Here, this is what's going on." But then they do it again later on. It's really because there's the fifth wave are five different waves of this alien invasion. And let me try to remember all five. I believe the first one is, let's see, oceans. They bombarded the oceans and caused tsunamis and wiped out the coastal areas. That was one wave. Another wave was a plague. I can't remember what the waves are now, but it's.
But that's okay, because then it's a surprise for everybody.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a traditional alien invasion story. Like, you're not going to see like a bunch of flying saucers strafing New York City and killing a bunch of people. That's not how this alien invasion works, and it'll surprise you up until the very end. And it's told from different perspectives as well. It's not just one person's point of view. It's a number of people's point of view. And it kind of all wraps up at the end. It becomes one point of view at the very end because these characters meet at the very end. So if you want an alien invasion book, there's not that many good alien invasion books out there. This is one that you should definitely pick up. And my girlfriend, Stephanie, recommended it, and she has not steered me wrong yet. I'm actually reading another one that she recommended. So she knows her books. It's called The Fifth Wave by Rick Yancey. It's medium-sized. It's not short. It's not super long. It's just about right.
497 pages.
Yeah. It took me a long time because I'm a slow reader. You know what I did? I took a Sunday afternoon and was like, you know what? Screw this. I'm just going to read this afternoon. I did that last Sunday. If you got the podcast out later than normal, that's why. I was reading Sunday afternoon and not producing the podcast and getting it up online. So, yeah, The Fifth Wave, Rick Yancey, I recommend it. That is my pick for the week.
Sweet.
It's a young adult novel, by the way. Young adult. So it's easy to read.
I think my friend James recommended that, maybe.
James.
It sounds familiar.
What's his last name?
Otto.
James Otto. Oh, that's your friend that sounds
like the country singer.
Yeah, the country singer, yeah. I bet he gets that all the time.
I think so. At least when they see his last name, they're like, oh, I like the country singer. I don't know if he actually likes the country singer or not, though.
What kind of music does he like?
Beatles.
Thrash metal.
He's really big into the oldies. Like, his experience with anything like 80s, 90s, now, not so much.
Mm-hmm.
So he's very much into the stuff that you would find playing at an oldie station.
Okay, cool. That's what the great thing about music is, you know.
Just like WOFM way back in the day.
Yep. Oh, that and like Disney songs.
Wow.
From like Disney movies.
All right.
Because Under the Sea it kicks ass. I'm sorry.
Hakuna Matata.
I could show you the world.
Climb Every Mountain. Hang on. No, that's not. That's that's The Sound of Music.
So.
No, Circle of Life. Circle of Life. It's Elton John. Come on. Circle Elton John. Sir Elton John.
Yep.
All right, Anessa, what's your pick?
My pick is a movie called Branded. And I think we might have mentioned this about a year ago or so.
It sounds familiar.
So it is set in a dystopian future where corporate brands have created a disillusioned population. One man's effort to unlock the truth behind the conspiracy will lead to an epic battle with hidden forces that control the world. Or so says the description from IMDb. So, yeah, it's basically about this guy. His name is Misha. And he is into marketing. That's what he does. He helps create commercials and a brand for people. And he ends up getting a run of bad luck, and he decides to leave marketing and just leave, I forget which city he's in, possibly Moscow? He's in Russia. So he decides to leave the city, and after something really bad happens with the whole marketing bit, with helping his girlfriend at the time, basically bring a reality show to Russia. And so he's like, all right, I'm done. Like, I'm getting out of here. So he leaves for the country to, like, herd cattle for, like, 6 years. And kind of random, but whatever. And he ends up having a bit of an inception moment where he has a dream within a dream. And within, like, in his dream within a dream, there's this voice that tells him what to do. And he wakes up from his dreams, and he decides, I'm going to do what this random voice told me to do in my dream. So he sacrifices some cow, and I don't know, it was really weird. And then suddenly he could see the world differently. And if you see the cover, you see, like, this guy standing there overlooking the city. And there's all these weird creatures and stuff and billboards and advertisements. And that's essentially what he sees. He sees all of these weird alien creatures latched onto everybody, feeding off of their desire. And so you have, like, this weird-looking clown creature on this kid. And you pass by this burger joint that I guess would be the equivalent of McDonald's, and it starts pulling towards this burger joint, and suddenly the kid's like, oh, I really want a burger, and he throws a fit because he wants a burger. And so, like, his mom's like, here's money, and he goes, and he's like, here's money, dollars, I get my burger. And this thing just feeds off of that, and then it, like, it kind of reminds me of the cell division. Is it mitosis where it divides, or is that meiosis? I forget. Anyway, it divides and it splits into like another thing and floats off into like a bigger entity. And he sees this and he decides that he's going to basically use his skill as a marketer to try to combat these alien creatures that's feeding off of everybody.
Wow.
And the concept is kind of cool, I guess. I like the idea. It was just the way they executed it. Part of the issue that I had with the movie is periodically there's some random lady narrating everything, but it doesn't start narrating at the beginning. It's like just this kid, he's laying there, he's listening to a bunch of numbers being called, and then his number gets called, and he takes off running to the front of the line, like, hey, that's me, like, I'm 159, that's me, but in Russian. And then he gets struck by lightning. It's really weird. But yeah, when he's laying there listening to the numbers, you see, like, these stars appearing in the sky, and then it ends up being in the shape of a cow's head, I guess a heifer. And it's not towards the bowl, because it just isn't. And you're watching the movie, and spoiler alert, apparently it's this constellation of a cow's head that's narrating random bits of his life. And the narration is to try to fit in the gaps where they just can't do it visually, I guess, and keep people following along.
Hmm.
It was kind of weird. So that kind of bugged me. But like I said, the idea behind it, like to me, I think it was a good idea. I just wasn't quite happy with how it was executed. It got a 4.5 on IMDb, and I think it was like a 23% on like Rotten Tomatoes or something of people liked it. So
the reason why the cow existed there is the it was brought over to us as branded, but it was also known as the Mad Cow.
Yeah, there was a thing about beef. I, for some reason, managed to pick two movies that just had bad luck with beef. Last night, there was Branded. And because he ends up using the popularity of the hamburger chain against itself in basically manufacturing this this mass panic about beef, and so people shunned beef, and they're like, oh, beef is bad, beef is horrible. And then I ended up watching another movie, which I'll talk about in Time Traveling Robots in Space, but essentially the beef started the zombie apocalypse.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
All right. So I was like, huh, beef last night just didn't have the greatest of luck in the movies I chose.
Beef, it's so, what's for dinner.
It is. But yeah, it was just kind of a weird movie. I guess if you want to watch it, you can.
oh, that's a great recommendation, Vanessa.
I guess if you want to watch it, you can. Like I said, I like the idea behind it. I just wasn't completely happy with the execution.
So if you had an alien attached to your body, what would it be telling you to do more than anything else?
Apparently, it's telling me to go to sleep.
It's pulling you to the bed.
Yeah, it's like, go to sleep, woman. So.
All right.
I don't know.
Okay. We'll think about that. Maybe ask that later. I don't know. So, was this like an independent film? Was it made in Russia? Did it have Russia?
It was made in Russia.
Okay.
There are some scenes where it's subtitled, but it's mostly in English.
Okay.
So it's not heavy on the subtitles. If any of our listeners are not big on subtitles,
okay,
it would be, you know, doable. Just a few scenes here and there that have subtitles, but for the most part, everything's in English. And he basically talks about Stalin being really big into the whole marketing thing. Because, like, the guy who goes into marketing is a historian, okay, at least. That was his training in college. That's what he studied, was history. So he's a big history buff, and he talks about like the history of marketing and stuff like that.
I had no idea that Stalin was a marketer.
Well,
advertiser.
According to the movie, I mean, this could totally be fake, But he was really big into like his propaganda posters and whatnot.
Okay. Well, that would make sense.
To basically sell an idea.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Selling the idea of communism.
That would make sense. All right.
So.
Okay. Well, thank you, Inessa. That was a great pick.
You're welcome.
You know, even if it's not a great movie, at least you experienced it. You know?
Maybe it was Lennon. I don't remember. Anyway, it was one of the two.
Yeah, those communist leaders are pretty interchangeable.
And somebody, one of our listeners are going to be like, no, you're totally wrong.
What's the one with the shoe?
I'm sorry.
Oh, that was...
Gagarin? No, that's the astronaut, the cosmonaut.
it's okay.
Khrushchev. Khrushchev.
Khrushchev, yep. Yeah. We will bury you! Bam, 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 yeah, bam, yeah. Bam.
Yep.
Yep.
It would have been better if that would have been a big clown, like an oversized clown shoe. That would have been... Cause nobody
Lenin. Okay. He says Lenin invented modern marketing.
Okay.
And so he was advertising the idea, selling the idea of communism to people.
Okay. Well, that would make sense.
So, whether or not that's true, I don't know. But it sounds good in the movie.
Mm-hmm. And it's not unreasonable, you know, when you think about it that way.
Yep.
Okay, Brad's turn. What do you got?
Well, I actually went to the Netflix well, and you know, I've been listening again, kind of going back to podcasting habits and things that I listen to. I was listening to Neil deGrasse Tyson. He had talked to Joe Rogan, and they were talking a little bit about alien life. So that was stuck in my head. I went to Netflix, and I went, oh, here's a documentary called – it's kind of a pseudo-documentary called Alien Planet. It was done in 2005. And the premise of this is this pseudo-documentary is about a mission to – a planet outside of our solar system, 6.5 light years away, so beyond Alpha Centauri. And we've discovered a planet that it's a binary system. There's two suns. And this planet is orbiting the two suns, and it has life on it. So the whole concept of this film was a... designer worked with, astrophysicists, biologists, and things like that, and created a world and created pseudo technology that doesn't exist but would serve a practical purpose, you know, like something, a goal to achieve, because this ship, even though it's traveling at 20% of the speed of light, it still takes 42 years for it to get from Earth to this fake planet that they're calling Darwin 4.
Mm-hmm.
And this ship arrives, and they go through the whole process of, okay, if we're going to do this, what are the things that we'd have to have? Well, we'd need to have a drop ship that would be sort of a central command for probing devices. And some of the devices they have are like – saucers which have cameras and other instruments for taking atmospheric conditions and things like that and relaying it back to the drop ship. So you've got this actually sort of a simple artificial intelligence. There's two drop ships that land on the planet so that they can kind of investigate as much of the planet as they possibly can. And this artificial intelligence, one of them is named Leonardo. It's Leo, after Da Vinci. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what the other ship's name was. Newton was the other ship's name. And these ships have to, you know, gather all this information and relay it to the main ship and then relay that back to Earth. So that's going through the entire process. If they landed on a planet that had a binary solar system – how would life have evolved there? What kind of life would you possibly find? So that's what this whole pseudo-documentary is. It's a collaboration between artists and scientists to create a world that is possible and the process that we as humans would have to go through, thinking through the steps of if you're going to have a mission that's 42 years away, how would you handle the gathering of information of that planet? What are some of the dangers you'd find and how you'd go through the entire process? It's really fascinating to watch. It's just under an hour and a half, I believe.
I remember watching this when it was on. What do you know what network it first aired on?
It was on Discovery.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
Oh, when they used to actually show things.
Did science,
yeah,
yes.
Related to science, yes. Of course.
Yeah. So, I mean, but it's such a wonderful collaboration. You've got Michu.
He's okay. Yeah,
Kakaku.
Of course, because he's on every documentary. Yeah, yeah, yep. Exactly.
Stephen Hawking, George Lucas is even involved in this project. Just so many interesting people that got on board with this project and put it all together, and it's a wonderfully done pseudo documentary of the process and the different how the creatures are really interesting and how. You look at it and you think, they put a lot of thought into making these creatures that obviously don't exist on Earth, and how you go through the entire process of how would a life form like that have evolved on this planet. The level of thought and creativity on this is staggering and well worth the watch. Well worth the watch.
I remember the effects being very well done, and I remember the how they described it, the different environmental conditions would determine the physiology of these creatures.
Yep. And because these, these drop ships, like I said, are so far away, they had a system in place where they had a weather balloon sort of system where they would have probes that would, kind of determine the weather. And if the bad weather was coming, they could get all the sensitive equipment back into the drop ship to keep it safe and then have it come out when it's safe to come out again, because they don't know exactly what the weather is going to be like on this planet. So
it sounds very much like something they would actually do. Like if you were to set out and do a mission like that, that's something that you would do.
Totally believable. I highly recommend it. If you're this is all done in CG, obviously. If you're into CG, if you're into kind of thinking more about what an alien life could be like on another planet, not necessarily intelligent, but just life forms, it's really a really worthwhile thing to watch. Absolutely.
Okay, cool. All right. So
there you go.
We'll put a link on our store page, our picks page at galacticnetcasts.com. And, of course, we'll have the links in the show notes as well to pick up these, our picks, Alien Planet, Branded, and The Fifth Wave. Those are our picks for the week. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, if you want to play it that way, then fine. All right. So, hey, feedback. Give it to us. Voicemail number 805.
Give it to us, baby.
Okay.
Sorry.
805-328-3966. You can email galacticnetcasts@gmail.com. Of course, we're all over the social web, Facebook, Twitter, Google+. Like us, circle us, follow us, the deal. And don't forget to subscribe. You can subscribe to us on the iTunes. You can go to our galacticnetcasts.com page and just subscribe via. I was looking at our numbers on FeedBurner, and I'm surprised at the amount of people that actually subscribe to us via email. You can you can get our podcast sent to you in your email. Then you just click on the link and listen that way. So
nice.
It's another option. So many options to subscribe to us. We hope that you do. Don't forget Stitcher as well. Stitcher is a very easy way to be listening. Oh, yeah. I'm glad whoever is putting this in the doc, I'm glad.
Me.
Okay. Thank you, Vanessa. We want to recognize our newest member of our community who made a comment or sent us a message on our Facebook page today. It's Mitchell. How would you pronounce that last name?
Anon?
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 Yeah.
Anon?
Yeah.
Anon?
Einan, Mitchell.
Sorry, Einan. Mitchell.
Yeah.
But thank you.
Yeah. He says, enjoying the netcast via Stitcher. Keep it up. And
resuming episode.
Yeah. I love that Australian lady's voice.
And go Gooboplasm.
Yeah. What episode was that? Gooboplasm. What episode?
That was a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wasn't
that
it?
That
wasn't too long ago.
No, it wasn't.
I prepped that story because it had Gooboplasm. I couldn't turn that down.
There we go. Gooboplasm was episode 83.
Okay, so it was four episodes ago.
So like four episodes ago.
Yep.
All right. So,
yeah.
Well, thank you, Mitchell. That's awesome. He liked us on Facebook, and you can too. And we'll respond to you. I responded to him right away. You know, thanks, Mitchell.
Boom.
We're not too cool for school.
No,
absolutely not.
Yeah.
Get to know us. Yeah. I've got a comic book sitting behind me. I'm not cool.
Yeah, no.
Totally cool.
All right. That's gonna do it for the Alien Invasion podcast number 87. Final thoughts?
Before Dave starts violently vomiting, let's move this along.
I'm not going to violently vomit.
You sure?
Well, maybe a little bit. Maybe a little bit in my mouth.
Brad was making kissy noises earlier. Unfortunately, I couldn't hear your reactions or see your reactions to that.
You didn't want to see it.
No, you didn't want to.
See, that's what happens when you do a podcast with a boyfriend and a girlfriend.
Yeah.
It's like then you get Dave's vomity face.
Yeah.
You don't want that.
All
right.
It'll be okay, Dave.
All right. Final.
We will send you, like, when I fly on, am I flying Delta? I'll get some of the little barf bags and I'll send them to you for Christmas.
Oh, no, but I will be flying before you will, so.
Oh, you can stock up.
Yeah, I could stock up. Yeah. So. All right. Hey,
good
final
times.
Thoughts.
Final thoughts.
Yeah. Let's do it.
So despite being kind of fatty, I actually enjoyed the barbecue brisket sandwich from Arby's.
All right.
Because I spent like half the show eating that sandwich.
Hey, you got to fit it in sometime, you know?
That's what she said.
Yay!
Bam!
So, yeah.
Okay, that's your final thought. Yeah. Good one.
Yes.
Okay. Brad, what do you got? Good one. Good one. I like that.
I'm going to have mouths full of meat. People should know how it is.
Oh, boy. Okay. On that note, hey, thanks, everybody, for listening to the podcast.
Oh, my God.
It's a brisket sandwich. Mouthful of meat. And it had, like, was it fried onions or something on it?
It has, like, deep fried string onion strings.
Yeah.
Things, yeah. There you go.
Barbecue
We've
sauce.
Broken Dave, ladies and gentlemen. You should. Dave's got his eyes closed, his elbow on his desk, and his hand propping his head up.
I'm doing the Picard maneuver.
Yeah.
Yeah. My job here is done, everybody. Good night.
Vanessa broke Dave. You won the podcast, my dear. Good job.
Gold stars for you, Vanessa.
Thank you.
Well, you know what that deserves? Good job, Vanessa.
What does that deserve?
What do you mean, what does that deserve?
I don't get it. I didn't hear anything.
Round of applause? You're not hearing the applause?
No,
we're not hearing the applause.
No.
It's broken. It's like silence.
Here, I'll help. I'll play mine. I got something. I think I got applause here. Hang on.
Oh, no.
No, that's not
it. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
How about this?
Oh, yeah. And whack off.
Oh.
That's my favorite one.
From your record.
All right, we got to end the show.
Yeah, we absolutely do. Sorry, everybody.
Any final thoughts, Brad? You got anything?
I got nothing.
Okay. All right. You don't have to have one. You know, it's not a requirement. That's cool. All right. That's going to do it for this Alien Invasion podcast. Till next time. Bye-bye, everybody.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Leave your hailing frequencies open and scanners on full, because another Galactic Netcast will be approaching your coordinates soon. For more information, go to galacticnetcasts.com.